Chapter 9. Invitations. Zoe is at home with Mitch. She has a list of people written on the back of an envelope in front of her, with the words barbecue at the top. She picks up her mobile and dials. Hey, Mum, how are you? Hello, darling, so good to hear from you. We're all quite well. Your father's still complaining about his back, but work's okay, I mustn't grumble. Haven't heard from Emma or Rick for a while, but nothing new there. And other than that, we're fine. How have you been? I'm fine, Mum, the usual. I hope you're having some time to yourself. I worry about you. You work too hard. Everyone works hard, Mum. It's what you have to do to get on. What you need to do is find yourself a nice man who could help you. Take off the strain. Oh, Mum, you're so 1950s. It doesn't work like that anymore. I don't need a man to take care of me. I can take care of myself. The only thing I need a man for is hot sex, Zoe says, laughing. Oh, Zoe, I do know a thing or two, and that is not the way to capture a man. You don't put yourself out there like that. I don't want to capture a man, Mum. No wonder you girls are all still single in your 30s. Ouch, Mum. We're not all single. I just don't want to settle. Just look at Emma. She managed to land a good man. And you are so lovely and pretty, Zoe. And kind and smart. Just can't understand why you can't find yourself a man. Oh, Mum, let's change the subject. I don't want you to worry about me. I'm fine as I am. My work is really important right now. My career comes first and the right person will turn up eventually. Yes, but don't leave it too late. You're not a spring chicken anymore. What about babies? Mum, I'm not even sure I want them. What? What do you mean you don't want them? Mum, I called for a reason. I'm having a barbecue. I haven't seen your dad or Emma and the kids for ages. It's a week on Saturday. I'm going to see if I can get hold of Rick too. Okay, hold on, love. In the background, she shouts out to her husband. George, are you going to Zoe's? Week on Saturday. Put it on your diary. He can be heard grumbling something about missing the football and grunting a response. We'll see you there, darling. Your father is delighted. Three-ish, okay? Great, see you then. Do you want me to bring anything? Oh, you could bring us one of your amazing cakes if you have time. Smashing. Can't wait to see you, love. It'll be so nice to have all the family back together. Bye, Mum. She clicks off and dials the next number. Hey, Rick. Hey, sis, what's up? Wow, you answered. I was expecting the answer machine. Where are you? Oh, I'm at the airport on my way to Milan. Big Vogue shoot for the next few days. Then I'm off to Berlin. Fashion show I need to shoot. Will you be back a week on Saturday? What for? I'm having a Barbie. Mum and Dar, hopefully Em and the kids and some friends. Love you to be there. I haven't seen you for the longest time. Actually, I think I am around that Saturday. I've got a big do in Somerset House Friday night, so it's all good. What time? Not too early, eh? No, 3-ish. I know you. That should give you a bit of time to recover. And do me a favour. You know Emma, Miles and Dad are going to be there, so it would be great if they could see you at your best. Just don't go too wild on Friday. Yeah, well, I need a few beers just to cope with that lot. Bloody Miles, Mr. Smug Bastard. Ugh, he gets right on my tits. Zoe would normally have defended anyone being maligned. But in this case, she had to agree with him. She laughs. Look, the kids are going to be there and they love you, so do it for them. Honestly, Zoe, I still can't work out how those two managed to produce such great kids. Zoe sighs. Yeah, they can't be all that bad. Or they have a bloody fantastic nanny, more to the point. Anyway, see you there. Great, I'm thrilled you're coming. I've got to call Emma now, so wish me luck, she says conspiratorially. Hey, Em, how are you? And how are my gorgeous nephew and niece? Oh, I'm okay, Zoe. She's a bit irritable as she's in the middle of cleaning up after the cleaner, who hasn't done things to her exacting standards. And the kids are fine. I'm busy. What can I do for you? Oh, I'm having a barbecue next week, or a week on Saturday. And I wanted to invite you, Miles, and the children. I mean, it'd be lovely to see you all. It's been way too long. Oh, I'll have to check the calendar. It should be okay. Are you inviting Mum and Dad? And is Patrick coming? She says, warily. Mum and Dad are coming, and Rick. If he gets back from his travels in one piece. Or what state he's in, more to the point. So, no guarantees there, then. Don't want him creating a scene around the children. You make sure if he is coming, he behaves himself. Zoe sighs. You know he loves the kids, and he always spoils them. Exactly, that's what worries me. It's always a bit too much. I can't stand all the mess from the rubbish he brings them, and some of it is just totally unsuitable for children. Oh, Em, they're just souvenirs from his travels, and I think it's adorable that he always thinks of them wherever he goes. Oh, I suppose so. I just wish they weren't so Oxfam-y. There is a pause as Zoe lets out a breath. She's unsure how to respond without offending her sister, and leading to her not seeing her niece and nephew again for another few months. I will make sure he behaves. I just hope you can all come. Mum and Dad would really love to see you all. I'd better get back, Zoe. I've got a million things to do. I'll text you to confirm once I speak to Miles later. Emma puts the phone down and looks around at her period Hampstead home on Willoughby Road. She's very happy with this location, as it gives her access to everything she needs. The right schools, the right shops, the right gym, the right kind of people. And, of course, the Heath is just a few roads away. She likes the fact that people in her road keep themselves to themselves, and even the celebrities are discreet. She thinks that she and Miles fit in perfectly. She checks the calendar and sees that the date is free. She picks up a pencil that's attached to the calendar and faintly pencils in Zoe's name to the date. She rolls her eyes and sighs, clearly not overly enthusiastic about the idea. But she turns back to the task in hand, which is reordering the living room after the cleaner's visit. No matter how hard she tries to explain, her new cleaner does not put anything back where it's meant to be, meaning more tasks for her to do. She sighs and starts to move her ornaments several millimetres so they're back exactly where they belong. Once she's done in the living room, she heads to the kitchen, where there's a large notebook full of lists. Next on her list is the kitchen. She starts to rearrange the glasses, looking for smears and tutting whenever she finds one, polishing them properly as she goes. She puts her phone on silent so she isn't interrupted again. Meanwhile, in an upstairs room, Grace and Raphael, her children, are quietly playing. They know better than to disturb her. They're playing one of their favourite games, which is Mummy and Daddy. Grace is wearing one of Emma's dresses with a belt holding it up and a pair of her high-heeled shoes, which are far too big. Her hair, which is cut the same as Emma's in a bob, is clipped back with a Diamante hairband. She has applied pink lipstick and unsuccessfully painted her nails pink too. She's busy fussing around and tidying up the playroom. She's clearly Mummy's little helper. She would love to be Daddy's little princess, but he's hardly ever home, and she's never quite sure where she stands with him. Raphael is dressed in one of Miles's suit jackets, which drowns him. His unruly blonde hair is plastered to his head with wax. He's running around wildly, creating chaos. "Stop being so messy and noisy, Raphael," Grace says in her best Emma impersonation. "It's very uncouth." She's pretending to cook in her state-of-the-art play kitchen. "I'm not couth, or Raphael, I'm Super Dad. I've finished my deals for the day and now I have to work out." Raphael drops to the floor and attempts some press-ups. He then jumps up and runs on the spot, and then leaps into some star jumps. "Well, hurry up, I'm getting your dinner ready and you know how I like to start on time." Raphael finishes his workout and brings over a bottle of water to the table. "This is an excellent vintage. It is very expensive. £30 billion. It's the best." Grace nods her head in approval. He pours the water into their plastic cups and they both take big gulps. "Oh, it's delicious. So worth the money," Grace says.
"Yes, only the best for us. But I'll have to go back to the office later. I have more deals to do."
"You really must you?"
"Yes, someone has to bring in the money around here. If you want more delicious wine, everything costs money, Grace. We have to have the best."
He pretends to wolf the food from his plate, gets up and starts to run around the room again. He's now pretending to drive away, zooming round the room making car noises. Grace sighs and begins to methodically clean up her kitchen.
"Oh dear, my work is never done. Always so much to do."
Their play is interrupted by the presence of the nanny, an older woman called Lily. She's short, dark-haired and sturdy, in body and in character. She never loses her temper or lets on what she really thinks. She's very fond of the children and they adore her.
"Come on, you two. Time for your classes. Grace, get your ballet things and Raphael, where's your taekwondo kit? Can't find it in the chaos that is your room. If your mother goes in there, she'll have a fit. And have you taken your medication today?"
"I don't want to take it. It makes me feel funny. I don't like it."
"Raphael, you need to take your medicine. You know that. The doctors know what they're doing. So come on, let's go and get it."
Grace, you get ready. We leave for the gym in 10 minutes. We don't want to be late for the class. The children spill down the stairs. Emma greets them and kisses them both on the head as they leave, jumping into the family Range Rover. Emma breathes a sigh of relief, knowing she'll have peace for a couple of hours and can get the place perfect before they and Miles return home. An hour of cleaning and tidying later, she hears a car pull up outside. She looks out the window to see Miles stepping out of his black E-Class Mercedes. Miles enters the house and looks around, checking to see if all is in order. She nervously looks around to make sure he's happy with her work, but he seems a little distracted. She is always happy to see her handsome and perfectly groomed husband, especially as she doesn't see that much of him these days. He's always busy at work, networking or in the gym. The price he has to pay to stay on top of his game. But she is very proud of him and believes it's worth the sacrifice. He's convinced her that at some point they'll be able to retire early and enjoy the fruits of their labours, a dream lifestyle worth waiting for. "Hello, darling, your hair looks good," Emma says. "Thanks, new barber. He's quite good, I'm just hoping this one stays for a while." "Darling, before I forget, we have a date a week on Saturday. Zoe has a barbecue. We really can't not go as we haven't seen the family for ages." Miles groans. "Really? How tedious. Ugh, I suppose you're right, we'd better show our faces. Just as long as we don't have to stay for too long. Your sister weirds me out. She's all over the place, can't keep a boyfriend, works for legal aid for God's sake and just doesn't live in the real world." "We won't stay long. Thank you, darling, for understanding," Emma replies. "It's really important that the children get some time with their grandparents. But there is something else."
"What?"
"We also need to talk about Raphael."
"What about him?"
Miles says exasperatedly. "Bit of trouble at school again."
"Can't those teachers take control of anything? Good God, we pay enough in fees. So what's he done now?"
"Oh, it's just the usual ADHD issue. Teacher says he's not paying any attention. He can't concentrate and is being really disruptive."
"He needs to stop spending so much time on his iPad and run around more. Can't what's-her-name take him out to the park a bit more? She just needs to wear him out."
"Well, I wish it were as simple as that. I spoke to the doctor and he says it's just a brain dysfunction and we may need to up his dosage."
"Well, do whatever he says. Let's just get it fixed. I haven't got time to be going back and forth to the school. And we've paid that doctor in Harley Street a small fortune to fix this. He needs to deliver."
"I'll speak to him tomorrow.
Don't worry, I'll take care of it."
Miles gets up and heads upstairs.
"I'm going for my run around the heath."
"Is it going to be a long one?"
"No, I'll just do a 5K. I had a tough workout with my trainer in the gym this morning, so just need a bit of cardio."
Emma had always admired how dedicated Miles was to looking good. She smiles. "Dinner will be ready when you get back." During his departure, the Range Rover with the nanny and the children returns. They rush into the house noisily, hoping to see him, and Raphael especially is really sad that he's missed him. Emma busies herself in the kitchen with their supper as the nanny feeds them, bathes them, and puts them to bed. She has no choice but to keep busy, aiming to create a perfect dinner worthy of their lifestyle. This evening, she's preparing organic venison steaks, steamed kale and walnuts, and purple stem broccoli. Carbs are rarely, if ever, seen at their table. As she begins her preparations, she pours herself a large gin and elderflower tonic with plenty of ice. On Miles's request, they no longer have wine in the week. Emma hasn't quite managed to become completely alcohol-free and doesn't think that a gin and tonic counts. Miles returns, hot and sweaty. He pulls off his t-shirt as he walks in the door, heading straight to the shower room. Emma takes in his hairless chest and perfectly toned abs, his biceps, and lets out a little sigh of appreciation. She fans herself as she heads back into the kitchen. She's a little aroused. She hears the shower running and makes her way up the stairs. She opens the door to the master bedroom, hoping he might ask her to join him. He doesn't. "Dinner is nearly ready."
"Fine, I'll be there in a jiffy."
He comes back down, pink-cheeked in a clean white t-shirt and jeans. She looks on admiringly, noticing how his t-shirt perfectly hugs his body, showing off his pecs. She also loves his tight jeans and how good he looks in them. She's more than a little aroused now and looks at him longingly and lustfully. He is oblivious. He wolfs his food with hardly a glance in her direction, and as soon as his plate is empty, he jumps up.
"Thanks, Em, that was great. I'm off to my study. I've got a few emails I need to send."
Emma looks disappointed. "Oh, I thought we could spend some time together."
Sorry, darling, I'm doing a big deal with Singapore. I have to be on their timeline. Don't worry, I'm going to smash it. And then we'll have all the time in the world.
He kisses her on top of the head and marches off up the stairs. Emma pops in to kiss the children goodnight and reads them a short story. Miles is still in his study on the computer. The door is shut, which is a sign that neither she nor the children should disturb him. She explains to the children that he's busy working hard and he'll kiss them goodnight later. Emma waits patiently for Miles to come back from the study. While she's waiting, she pours herself another gin and tonic and puts a home improvement show on the television. Love it or leave it. She watches it with semi-interest, looking towards the stairs frequently, in the hope he'll make an appearance. Eventually she gets up, pours another drink, and heads upstairs to their ensuite bathroom. She runs a bath and fills it with sensual scented oils. She lights some candles and turns off the light. She puts on some easy listening music, and her thoughts turn to sex, or rather the lack of sex. She reminds herself that she's lucky to have such a gorgeous and hard-working husband, and she's definitely the envy of her friends, so she doesn't quite understand why she feels so vaguely dissatisfied. Truth be told, she'd like to have sex more than she's having, and perhaps with a little more spice and adventure. She feels that the every other week sexual encounter that usually occurs on a Saturday morning while the children are at their trampoline class is not satisfying her yearning, which has been increasing in recent weeks. One of her friends suggested she buy herself a little toy, but the thought disgusted her. And after a long, relaxing soak, she rubs very expensive Lang Lang cream onto her body. She admires her reflection in the mirror. Even after two children, she's still in trim. All thanks to her daily yoga, Pilates, and long-distance running around the park when the children are at school. She steps into a silk, floaty Versace negligee, hoping it might do the trick. She smells divine and hopes she's made herself irresistible. When she enters the bedroom, she's dismayed to see that Miles is already in bed, fast asleep. She sighs deeply and wishes she'd taken her friend's advice. She lies awake for hours, unable to sleep. In the end, she resorts to one of her yoga nidra meditations, counting her breaths until she finally drifts away.